Bloomberg The First Word with Ken Pruitt. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Our guest is James Shug, Senior Economist, Westpac Banking in London. James, good morning.
Ken, good to speak to you again.
Well, the latest now, attention has shifted to Spain, where Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy meets ministers today. He has his fifth austerity budget. Protests continue in the capital again. And our man in Madrid, David Tweed, earlier this morning told us he hasn't seen anything like that since Athens last year, with tear gas in the streets.
Absolutely, and there has been a concern, I think, amongst some of the investor base that Spain could potentially become another Greece. I got to say, our baseline scenario is that probably won't happen. What seems to happen with Europe is that governments, central bank, make comments along the lines of, we won't do this, we won't do that, we won't allow leniency, we will keep insisting on austerity, we won't buy bonds. They keep saying those sorts of things until the day they change their mind. And they change their mind just as things potentially get really serious. And it's like this bumbling along process, trying to extract the maximum out of the opponent that you're arguing with. And I think that's what's going to happen in the Spanish case as well. Spain will apply for a bailout probably before the end of October. That will trigger ECB bond buying. The bailout will be in exchange for conditions that aren't really austerity conditions, but are actually more sensible measures that will help improve the efficiency of the Spanish economy over time. So I think something will be knocked out, a compromise will be reached, and we'll see the can kicked that a little bit further down the road yet again.
Well, Spanish bond yields are back over 6% now. Is it possible for the market to impose some discipline?
Well, I think that's what's going to probably happen. Prime Minister Rajoy himself has said that if yields rise to levels that are unaffordable for the Spanish government, they will then seek a bailout from the ESM with the conditions that go with it, and that would then trigger the bond buying by the ECB, which should bring yields back down to much more affordable levels.
In the UK, we have a report this morning that the economy was not as weak as earlier reported. And how's that being greeted?
Fairly nonchalantly. We've had an initial report of minus 0.7% for second quarter GDP 2 months ago, revised to minus 0.5, now minus 0.4. We know that there are a lot of distortions impacting on the UK economy this year. Unusual weather conditions, shifted public holidays related to the Queen's Jubilee, the Olympics. The numbers are going to be very bouncy. We're going to get quite a decent third quarter number because we think the Olympics probably added a little bit to the economy. And at the same time, we'll get the bounce back from the very weak Q2, which had the extra public holidays. And so a number approaching 1% growth could be possible in the third quarter, and then probably a negative in the fourth quarter as the Olympics drops out. So the underlying story, though, for the UK economy is one of stagnation or mild contraction for 2012.
Okay, but at least better off than the continent, right?
Absolutely. Well, Britain's got independent monetary policy, a flexible exchange rate, and it still has the trust of international financial markets with bond yields very, very low. At one point, I think, the UK could have paid for 30-year money the cheapest interest rate for 300 years. So yes, it's a very different set of circumstances. Although, as I say, a mild recession is probably the best way to describe where the UK is at the moment.
We get readings on the American economy today with the GDP report. Second quarter estimate is growth of 1.7%. Is that pretty much in line with what you've been looking for?
Yeah, this last estimate doesn't usually get changed that dramatically, and I think the focus is really on what's going to happen in the third quarter, where we're looking for about a 1.5% annualized growth pace. So further deceleration. I mean, we're looking at growth this year of a bit above 2%, but next year a bit below 2%, and that assumes that we see some sort of sense delivered by Congress in time to avert the fiscal cliff, at least to some extent. If that doesn't happen, then the number for next year is going to be a hell of a lot lower than just a bit below 2%, I can tell you, Ken.
Okay, so but at this point, though, you're betting the fiscal cliff will be averted.
That's right, yes. So it's an assumption that we've made, yes.
And so growth of less than 2%, is that as far
look,
as you can
Ken,
see?
The days of free and easy credit have gone. Households are deleveraging. The housing sector, although it's growing, it's only like a quarter or a fifth of the size that it was at its peak. So it's not contributing much, if it, anything, really, to the growth story in the economy. And therefore, retailing, you know, household goods is going to remain weak for a long time. There are many fact that the European concerns, the financial market worries, all of these things, the China slowdown, all of these factors, I think, are going to weigh on confidence, weigh on sentiment, and act as headwinds to the U.S. economy. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the U.S. economy could only grow at around 2-2.5%. That was seen as its maximum growth rate, and I think that we're back to that sort of situation now, I'm afraid.
And David, James, are you a buyer of 10-year U.S. Treasuries at 1.6%?
Look, I think there are probably other maturities that would offer some. I think there's some good spread trades you can put on. Also, I think that there, at some point, though, the U.S. does need to watch out. Investors afford America, you know, the exorbitant privilege. It's the reserve currency of the world. When there's problems anywhere in the world, even if it's weak U.S. data, they'll buy treasuries because they just see it as a safe haven. But whims of investors can change. And although I think it's the whim of investors towards France is the bigger risk in the near term, at some point, U.S. Treasuries, I think, are going to be a huge sell. So that'll be when, I suspect, the U.S. economy starts to show signs of a more self-sustaining recovery, if it ever does. Because if the Fed starts to reverse its asset purchases, there'll be a lot of bond supply out there.
James Shook, Senior Economist, Westpac Banking in London.
You can listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012 Bloomberg LP.